right, here we are at the Embracing a Simpler Life podcast. My name is Mitchell Bennett.
And I'm Katie Bennett.
I am the first.
The first what?
As opposed to the second or the third, I'm the first. I'm not named after my dad, so therefore I'm the first.
All right.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Mitchell the first.
Before we get too deep into our discussion about our beautiful topic today, let's take a moment to thank our sponsors, since they're the ones that make this podcast happen.
This episode is sponsored by Veritas Press, which is a Christian company that produces homeschool materials and curriculums, and they have produced an amazing app for children called the Phonics Museum. The Phonics Museum is an app designed to teach your children how to read, from not even knowing their letters all the way to reading simple stories. It's completely sequenced and very motivating and fun. There are a lot of awards that they can earn. There are over 900 different books, videos, games, lessons, and songs. There's actually a live teacher inside the app. So there is no parental teaching that's required. Children can just work their way up through the levels one by one as they graduate, and they are learning how to read. It's pretty amazing. Our children have this app. They really enjoy it. And what's cool is that Veritas Press is offering not only a free two-week trial to Embracing a Simpler Life readers, but also several different freebies that would not normally be included you're going to get if you sign up through our unique link, which is www.phonicsmuseum.com/EASL.
Cool. Let's jump into our topic here. Week number 47 on the menu, and we're talking about the idol of an easy life.
Why do you say it's week number 47?
I didn't know what week it was, so I made something up.
Okay.
All right.
Obviously, when we say idol, we're not talking about a statue that you are literally bowing down to worship. But that's not the only definition of an idol. An idol is actually something that we value excessively. It's excessive devotion to a person or thing. And as Christ followers, we should be completely devoted to God, to His will and His kingdom. So if there is anything that is taking priority in our lives, that is excessive devotion. So we mustn't value anything more highly than God or His desire for us in our lives.
And it's so easy to fall in that trap. I do it all the time. I idolize you. I idolize the kids. I idolize work. I idolize who knows what else.
How do you know? How do you know when you're making those things an idol, and what do you do about it?
How do I know I'm making those things an idol is when I care more or focus more on those things than I do on God. What do I do about it? Get down on my knees and pray about it. Start off. And if that doesn't cure anything, then I start removing things that are idols as much as possible. Obviously, I can't remove you and I can't remove the kids.
Well, you could, but it wouldn't be the right thing to do.
No, it wouldn't be the right thing to do. But I can remove time with those things and replace them with time with God.
So we're going to be talking about the idol of an easy life. This is something that I know I struggle with. And
it's because your life's so easy.
Basically, that just means wanting things to be easy, not wanting the hard things that God might be calling us into. So in our culture, we're conditioned to work for and expect an easy life. It's not just cultural, it's really human nature. It kind of goes back to our survival instinct. We slowly upgrade our lives to be easier and more comfortable as we get older and further along financially. For example, we might start out our adult life lugging our groceries up to a third floor apartment with no dishwasher.
You never did that.
We had a dishwasher, but
fact,
it was a third floor apartment.
Fact.
But we eventually get into a nicer house with an attached garage and everything is great. Or we might start out working hard at a job, but when we retire, we plan to vacation and sleep in and enjoy hobbies.
Or before we even retire, when we just get comfortable in our job, then we start getting lazy and not doing anything at our job.
So we might acknowledge, okay, there's going to be some hardship, but we are striving for that easier life. It's the goal. And in our culture, oftentimes we're able to make that a reality in very many ways. And I don't think any of this is wrong, but I do think we need to be aware of this mindset so that we can make sure it is bowing to God's gospel purposes in our lives and not the other way around. We don't want to be so fixated on an easy life that we're not willing to step into hard things or make sacrifices.
We feel very entitled to a lot of things we have: the air conditioner, the nice house, the freezer, and even the third floor dishwasher. We really feel like those things are important. But what if God called you to something more difficult? What if he called you to some place more difficult that wasn't necessarily as safe, that wasn't as luxurious? If in your mind you're saying, if God did that, I would not go. There's no way. No, 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 no. Then this episode is exactly for you, because that is where we need to examine our hearts and see what God is speaking to us about this specific topic.
Let's put this in mom terms, shall we?
I'm going to go get a drink.
When a baby is born, we can kiss those sweet cheeks, but we can also kiss the easy life we once knew goodbye. You can amen that, right?
I'm drinking water right now.
Babies and children and, you know, what we know for sure is young children make life so much harder than it once was. And that particular change can be a little bit disgruntling at times.
Mildly.
The constant string of messes, the difficulty of going anywhere and doing anything, the tantrums, laundry, constant snacks, and of course the disciplining and training can be very frustrating and hard.
Remember that one time we went to the gas station and we both got out and we both went inside?
Yeah. That was
same time.
A few years after having kids, we for some reason were on a trip together and we were just grinning walking into that gas station together. It was so easy. There was no one waiting in the car with a sleeping baby, taking turns. There was none of that. So
the point is, kids mess all that up.
I remember a time when our first baby was 3 weeks old and you dropped me off at the house because we had just finished high school graduation. Mitch was a high school teacher at that time, and you were going out for Mexican food with all the teachers. And I would have normally gone with you, you know, all their spouses were included, but I was being dropped off in a lonely dark house with a baby to put her to bed. So yeah, there's a lot of sacrifices and things that are just more difficult. And a lot of times as a mom, you are encouraged with the words from older, wiser mothers: it will get easier. Now, I have started to see the truth of these words. Our oldest daughter is 7. Our youngest is 3. Now we're kind of starting over with a baby coming in November, December. But it has gotten easier. When I say get your shoes and get in the car, at least 2 of them can do that. So
no, at least 3 of them can do it, but only 2 of them actually do.
Well, and you know, which 2 is a mystery. It's not always the youngest that won't. However, I also wonder, what value does an easy life hold eternally? So is this a worthy hope for my life as I watch or even wait for my children to grow up?
Sometimes when we look forward to the next stage of our life that's always going to get easier, we completely miss the hard but also very important and sometimes very sweet moments that are going on all around us. God is always blessing us, and we just need to look around and live our life fully today and not be waiting for tomorrow to settle down the storms of today.
Here's the thing about that phrase, it will get easier. Probably it will, but that is not a guarantee for your life. What if it doesn't? What if this is the easiest and best our lives will ever be on this earth right now? So maybe you're going to be diagnosed with some kind of illness. Maybe your spouse is going to die or your children are going to enter into some hardship where it's not going to get easier. That's not really a secure hope for us to anchor ourselves in. And what's more, easy is relative, because the truth is your life is easy right now compared to someone. Our lives could be compared to a woman named Emily that we have connected with in a Kenyan slum, who is a single mom of 13 children. And she is also HIV positive, so, and a widow. So yeah, your life is easy compared to someone.
If you lined up everybody in the world from easiest life to hardest life, I guarantee you, you're not going to be the last person in line with the hardest life.
Yeah, but then you might look around and see that mom whose children are older or who has fewer children or who has grandparents right down the street who live to do her bidding and feel really sorry for yourself. It's all rooting everything in comparison and not in the goodness of God or in his grace for us.
And don't let us confuse you into thinking that we're telling you your life is easy, because we're not telling you your life is easy. There are hard things in all of our lives, but that's really okay. You know why it's okay? Because God, the creator of the universe, shows up in all of the hard places.
When you think about it, ease doesn't matter past the moment in which it's lived. So if you had an easy day yesterday, that doesn't gain you anything today, because today is its own day. And that is going to be true for every day of our lives until we enter eternity. And in fact, every easy moment of our lives is one less opportunity to be groomed into the likeness of Christ. It's one less opportunity to remain steadfast in trial and thereby store up rewards in heaven that will never perish or spoil or fade. And it's one last chance to give God the glory of trusting him in the midst of hardship. So ease isn't worth everything that we might think or act as if it is worth.
The Bible backs that up in James, which is one of my favorite books in the entire Bible. Chapter 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him."
When life is hard, we have an opportunity to receive the crown of life, to be rewarded for our steadfastness. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light and momentary troubles," light and momentary, that always gets me because it's all about perspective, "are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." There's an equation here. The troubles, they are the thing achieving for us the glory that we'll enjoy for all of eternity. So, verse 18, "We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." You might look out and compare your life and feel that it's harder than the life of someone else around you. That doesn't matter. That's the wrong thing to focus on. We can focus on our unseen hope and our eternal home and what God is doing in and through us.
2 Corinthians says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me." God has power. He has the might. He has the strength. When we go through hard times, then, let's use that to glorify God and rest on his power instead of trying to rest on our own power.
Maturing isn't painless or easy, but it's inexplicably good. I know personally, as I look back on myself before I had kids, and just how far I've come in terms of maturity, I don't want to return to where I was before, because I have grown so much personally and I'm grateful for it. And it was only because of the hard moments and all that I've learned about receiving God's grace in the midst of them that I never could have learned through someone else's teaching or life. I needed to experience it firsthand, and I can be grateful for all of that. It's in the presence of difficulties that we have the privilege of drinking from the well of God's grace more than ever before.
Another place we can see the idol of an easy life is in marriage, where we can compare what we're doing to each other. We can play games in our heads of keeping score and saying, oh, well, she did this, I did that, I did that again. Oh, I've done it twice, she's done it once, she loses. This is terrible. We can play all these games in our heads instead of suffering for one another in our marriage and working together at it.
Serving one another. It can be easy, and Mitch knows I've been guilty of this, to be in a conversation with one of my friends and realize, oh my goodness, their husband helps with the dishes every single night after dinner, like right then and there. My husband doesn't do that, which actually he does. So it can lead me to compare and forget about all the wonderful things that Mitch does to serve our family because I feel like, oh, I'm having to do all the dishes and my friends aren't because their husbands are helping them. However, that's a very unfortunate way of looking at things and it's very self-focused. It's not how Jesus wants us to approach any relationship, let alone our marriages.
You want easiness in your relationship, you're going to break your relationship. Don't be looking for the easy thing. Look to be serving. That's what we're trying to say.
Yeah, and that's true love. In fact, Jesus taught this in a very powerful way. In John 13, starting in verse 1, it says, "The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him." Skipping to verse 12, "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' he asked them. 'You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
God has a much higher calling for us than an easy life. There are probably going to be lots of hard things in that life, but it's going to help us achieve eternal glory that far outweighs everything that we could possibly accomplish without him.
God humbled himself to wash the disciples' feet, and he did it to set an example. We're not greater than Jesus, so we need to get over that right now. We aren't here to be served. We're here to serve others, and that mentality can shape everything in our marriages, in our lives, and in our families. It's not about it being easy for us. It's about loving others and trusting the eternal picture that it's all going to be worth it. That's all we have for today, but don't forget to check out our sponsor, Phonics Museum. You can find them at phonicsmuseum.com/EASL, where you can get a free 2-week trial along with several other freebies and bonuses, which you'll learn about at that link. And your kids will get to start learning how to read or progressing in a very motivating and multi-sensory way. It actually teaches art history as well. So it's a really well thought out program, well put together, that will take them quite a long time to complete, but they'll be excited and motivated, I'm pretty sure, because I know from watching my children. It is geared towards children ages 3 to 7, which conveniently, I have a 3, 5, and a 7-year-old. And my 3-year-old is not quite interested in it yet. She just turned 3, but my 5 and 7-year-old are all about it. I love everything that they're learning, so I hope that you will go and check it out for yourselves. Until next time.